This episode is brought to you by Gin & Co., author website design specialists. If you want a beautiful and functional website to promote your books and brand, reach out to Gin today. His work includes tailored, expertly designed professional author websites. I finally have a website I'm proud to share. And we've got a special offer for Words and Nerds listeners. Reach out today and get a free domain name and website hosting for the first year. You can get their website essentials package, includes domain name, website hosting, backup and security, free for the first year with any website purchase. This is valued at $330 a year. Choose a website designed to bring your author brand to life. You can find more details about this special offer at ginand.co/wordsandnerds. Welcome to the 2024 series of the Words and Nerds podcast. I'm Danny B, author, publisher, and your podcast host. With over 1 million plays, thanks to you, listeners, readers, writers, creatives, teachers, librarians, and book lovers, thank you for coming along for the journey where we bring you relaxed and real conversations about writing and creativity. If you love an episode, you can leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram or Facebook at Danny V Words and Nerds Podcast. Or you can check out my brand new website designed by Gin & Co. at dannyv.com.au.
It's a Words and Nerds takeover. Welcome to Words and Nerds. I'm your takeover host, Kai Garvey. I'm also a debut kid lit author of the picture book Easy Peasy and host of the literary podcast Totally Lit. Today, I have two lit kid lit powerhouses, Jenny Stubbs and Megan Daly, here to chat with me about the wonderful work teacher librarians play in promoting and supporting literacy in our schools. Both ladies aren't just teacher librarians, they're super teacher librarians. Jenny, Megan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks.
Bye. I'll quickly just give the listeners a little rundown of your achievements. Megan is a teacher librarian and has been awarded the ASLA Australian Teacher Librarian of the Year 2023 and the SLAQ Queensland Teacher Librarian of the Year, as well as the National Drumkeen Librarians Award. Megan is the author of the best-selling book Raising Readers, as well as Teacher Teacher and The Beehive. A former National Vice President of the Children's Book Council of Australia, Megan is also a speaker, regular literary judge, festival curator, and co-host of Your Kids Next Read podcast. Jenny is President of Booklicks Queensland, coordinator of CBCA Queensland Readers Cup, President of the Ipswich District Teacher Librarian Network, Director of Story Arts Festival Ipswich, and Booklicks Story Arts Brisbane Conference. She has been recognised for her commitment to literacy and engagement through reading and writing, including the Drumkeen Librarians Award, the CBCA Queensland Branch Dame Annabelle Rankin Award, the Queensland Writer Centre Jono Award, and the CBCA Nan Chauncey Award 2023. Ladies, I'm out of breath sharing all of your achievements. First off, I'd like to ask both of you what motivates you to do the awesome work that you do to promote literacy in our schools. I'll start with Jenny.
What motivates me to do it? Oh, that's a really tough one. You should have asked Megan first. I just love organising things. So it basically comes from an organising gene that goes back in my family. And I'm just passionate about children's literature, and I just think that children have the same rights to access to authors and illustrators as the adults who go to literature festivals, and just encouraging kids to read, this is a way to do it.
And what about you, Megan?
Oh, look, this is going to be such a tricky interview, Kai, because I'm just going to say what she said. So Jenny has been my mentor, as well as my mum, who's also a teacher librarian, for my whole career. And so I have learnt my trade from Jenny. So I echo what she says. And, yeah, for me, I get back as much as I give out in the children's literary space. There is nothing better than seeing children who live in regional or remote areas or who are living in low socioeconomic areas having a book, having access to authors, and, you know, that freedom and wonder that comes with reading. So for me, all of what Jenny says, and I just love access to literature and story for all children.
Yeah, I could say carrying on from what Megan said, is that the Story Arts Festival Ipswich is a free festival for children. I think it's the only one in Australia, and we have about 6,000 kids every 2 years coming through our festival. So some of those kids coming in from the country areas, it's such a buzz for them, and that's where I get my hit. You know, just seeing the joy and fun of those kids meeting authors and buying books and just running around out of school. It's like totally out of that school environment, so it makes a more of an impact on them.
Amazing. That's so wonderful to hear kids loving to read. Now, this might be a little bit of a controversial question, but you can share your thoughts on it. Many schools now don't have a resident teacher librarian role in the schools. Can you share with me your thoughts on the current state of libraries in Australia?
Oh, it's dismal, absolutely dismal. But having said that, the schools that do have teach librarians, I hope, like the one I work at, which has, I think we have four teach librarians at my school, it's a P-12 school, the schools that do have them, I hope those students, staff and parents see the benefits. And I guess that's where a lot of my advocacy work has now focused its energy, in talking around the country and in New Zealand about the importance of school libraries and school library staff, because I just, you know, the situation is dismal, but we cannot just be dismal about it ourselves. We have to be advocates. We have to be loud and proud about what we do. And I feel like I've been fighting for my job and my place in this teacher librarian world for the entire 25 years I've been a teacher librarian, but it is a fight worth having. And there is more and more people like Dr. Mel Green doing work in this space, collecting evidence around the worth of recreational reading and the worth of school libraries. So I am hoping with the groundswell of support and the groundswell of academic research and evidence, which tells us teacher librarians and school library staff are necessary, that we are starting to see a little bit of a turnaround.
I saw today that an email has come out from the Minister for Education saying, you know, good on you teacher librarians. It's Queensland School Library Week. And I'm thinking, do you even know how many teacher librarians there are in EQ schools at the moment? Because in my area, back in the 80s, when we were holding teacher librarian network meetings, we would have, 15, 20 teacher librarians turning up for a meeting once a month. And now in Ipswich District Teacher Librarian Network, in the CBD area, the core area where we have quite a lot of schools, there is only one teacher librarian left in an EQ school in the Ipswich Centre. And two part-time teacher librarians in private schools, and it's only one Westmorton Anglican College that's like well-staffed like you are, Megan. Other than that, you know, our teacher librarian network is shrinking so much in numbers, and we produce our book week publication and run our festival with income from that book. If we don't have enough teacher librarians out there doing that, these things, you know, helping kids celebrate book week and readers' cups and so on, they're going to disappear. We can't keep going without the teacher librarians there.
And can you share with me, do you do any advocacy with government or with schools to promote the role of teacher librarians?
I did just recently write a letter to the member for Ipswich West, who's just resigned, but anyhow, it was being passed on, and hopefully that will get through to the Minister for Education.
But over the years, Jenny, you and I have both done enormous work with, you know, there was a federal government inquiry into teacher librarians, and then that was a point in time at which so much evidence around our worth was discovered, and then we had a change of government and nothing happened with that report. You know, Jenny and I have worked tirelessly in this space trying to have government organisations and, you know, funding bodies listen to the evidence-based research around the worth of teacher librarians. Getting the ear of somebody in those higher places is extremely difficult, and it's a tiring thing to do, and we do need more school library staff and teacher librarians to be as loud and out there as, and you know, sometimes probably annoying as Jenny and I can be in continuing to bang the drum about the importance of school libraries.
Our network even once created a leaflet, an information leaflet, and we posted it to every PNC to every school in our area, trying to make them aware, you know, saying, do you have a teacher librarian in your school? Ask the questions. Didn't really get any feedback from it, but
there's also the great website Students Need School Libraries, yeah. And they've done a lot of work in collecting and collating information for schools, for parents, for community members to know how to advocate for school libraries in your child's school or in your school if you are an educator. Or if you are an author listening to this podcast, hey, you can also advocate for the importance of school library staff, because I know for many of the author listeners, they'll go into schools and they'll discover that there isn't a teacher librarian. They may have been booked by a classroom teacher, and the experience often isn't the same. I hear that feedback from authors a lot.
And actually, Megan, it was from that Students Need School Libraries website that we took those materials that we then sent out to the PNCs to lobby our local area.
How can we and our listeners support advocacy? Is it as simple as us writing to our local member?
It is, but it's also, I think, particularly parents. Parents have a lot of sway in school PNCs. Jenny and I both know of an EQ school and a great school library staff member who's done a lot of work around a PNC were able to raise the funds to support the reopening, I guess, and the restaffing of a school library here in Brisbane. And that's had enormous success. That school library staff member is now moving on, but is going to be replaced because the school community has seen the worth of that school library staff member. And I think it's really important that parents get involved and that everybody is getting involved in talking about the importance of school library staff and trained teacher librarians.
And I think that initially it was the PNC that paid for that person to come in. But then I think it then reverted back to, all right, well, the school sees this as a really valuable person to have in our school, and it went back to the school then being responsible for the staffing. So it didn't have PNC paying it all the time.
For our listeners, can you share why a teacher librarian is an integral part of our students' literacy and encouraging that love of reading in our students?
Megan, you take that one.
Okay, yeah, look, I'm working at a school at the moment which does very much value the role of the teacher librarian, and in an ideal world, a teacher librarian has the opportunity to support classroom teachers and curriculum in providing resources which in order to teach the curriculum. So I know with the teachers I work with, if they're doing a unit of inquiry around First Nations perspective on measurement, I can supply them the resources because I have the knowledge of the current contemporary Australian children's literature. I also have access to many, many journals and teacher librarian sources of information that I can access, you know, relevant contemporary material on First Nations authors and creators and whatever they're asking for. So many classroom teachers, all classroom teachers, are completely and utterly bogged down in curriculum and just the running of the school day. We're looking at teacher burnout rates like we've never experienced before at the moment. And teacher librarians are integral in supporting classroom teachers to have relevant, timely, useful, child-friendly, engaging resources. And I just cannot state enough how much a classroom teacher is supported by a teacher librarian, as well as the entire school community. I have my school library at the moment is very much at the heart of the school. I have parents coming in morning and afternoon. I run informational workshops on how to get your kid reading, keep them reading, you know, how do you get your teen off BookTok and onto something, you know, a little more meaty. And, you know, we have that opportunity to talk at a different level about the importance and the joy of recreational reading.
And many, many teacher librarians in the schools are running things like literature circles and
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, you were running those mother and daughter reading clubs and those sorts of things. And having that knowledge to get kids involved in things like Reader's Cup and so on. You know, you bring in that I read. I'm not in a school anymore, but I'm reading and reading and reading all the latest books that are coming out so that I can recommend which are the best ones that they're going to read right throughout the regions for Regional Cup. And we take that knowledge to the teachers. They want a good book to read aloud to their kids. We have that knowledge. We do all the reading for it.
I love to hear the passion, ladies, in your voices. Now I'm going to go right down to grassroots now. So Jenny, I'd like you to think back to when you were in a school, and Megan, your current experience in a school. Can you tell me what it's like when you're connecting with students on a day-to-day basis and seeing the real life impact of your work, like seeing your students learn to love books?
Jenny looks like she's thinking, so I'll go
thinking it was so long ago.
I'll let you ponder that, Jen. Look, yes. I see the impact every day. There is nothing better than a kid testing me, or me getting around a kid's kind of talk about, you know, this isn't a place for me. I've had a small child in year two who's been testing my librarian knowledge over the last few weeks, because I started the school year by saying that I could find a book on any topic they wanted. And he's been coming in every week, and I've only just worked out now in week four that he has been really testing me. He came in and asked me for a book on golden sloths, bears. And I said, oh, you can have a sloth or you can have a bear, but I don't think there's a golden sloth bear. And he's like, there is, find me a book. And each week he's come in and asked me an increasingly more difficult thing to find him a book on, and I have found one for him every week. And just this week I said to him, are you trying to find out if what I said in week one is correct? And he's like, yep, with a big smile on his face. But he's gone home and he's been reading and engaging with these books. And then I just love making the library a space for all kids. I love when I can open up the library and I can see the kids that would normally be on the oval playing soccer be also happy in the library, and that they know it's a place for them. I love seeing my readers, my reluctant readers, my typical library kids that want to play chess in the corner, and also my kids that are often on the school oval. I see the impact every day, and I see that everybody is happy and welcomed and feels like the library is a place for them.
You have to remember, Kai, that I was a teacher librarian for, you know, a certain length of time, but then I became a regional library advisor. So for me, being in a school library with classes, actually the last time I was doing that proper job was 1988.
Oh.
And things have changed a great deal.
To think back a little bit. Yeah. I think you did touch on it when you were mentioning the festival, though, seeing those kids.
Yeah.
Being able to come in from the regions and connect with reading and with authors.
I always remember one particular incident of after the festival had finished, and I had to go out to one of my schools in my advisory capacity virtually the next day. And as I walked in the door, the principal was saying, oh, you've got to see this kid. I've forgotten his name now. You know, he didn't even want to go to the festival. He was not at all interested, but he actually bought a book. Look, he's reading a book. And he was just so amazed at what impact that visit to the festival had on that kid. And other teachers would report back and say, well, you know, after visiting some particular illustrator, the kids were then identifying that illustrator in their collection within their library. So they just get so much out of that. But back when I was at Amberley, I had some really, really bright kids back there. And there was one who'd read just about every book in the library. I was giving her the Puffin catalogues to go through to help me select which books to buy so that I would have some more books for her to read. And another kid who was passionate about reading fantasy and had read just about everything. And I was starting to bring books from home from my own collection for him. And I was reading a particular series at the time, and he was jumping ahead of me. I was bringing him books before I even got to read them myself. He was such a brilliant kid. And at the end of that year, as he was leaving the school, I went into my office and there was a box of chocolates with a thank you just sitting there because he didn't want to give it to me personally, but he appreciated what I'd done. So, yeah, they're the things that hit your heart.
I must admit, I did my first books in homes visit at a school recently, and no one tells you how much joy you can get from that kind of experience. And I had a little reader come up to me and go, oh, I know who you are. And she was very excited to meet an author of a book. And yeah, it brings me back to my own experiences. John Marsden came to my school. And I loved it. It was, I was like, I'm going to be a writer one day after that experience. And also my local library, my school library, and my parents both worked at TAFE. So I actually spent a lot of time in the TAFE library as well. So that can have so much impact on children, on the direction their life will take as well. Both of you have had a great 2023 with awards. How has it felt to be acknowledged by the kid-led industry for the work that you've been doing?
You go first, Jen, because your awards are so impressive.
It was amazing because I really didn't know that I'd be nominated. So that was, sometimes you know you've been nominated and it doesn't come as quite as much of a surprise, but this one I didn't know. And it was such a prestigious one. I've actually sort of been on the committee helping to select previous winners when I was, with CBCA, when I was president of Queensland branch at one time. So I know the process that people go through to be selected and the quality of the people that are nominated. So it was great. And it makes me want to travel down to Tasmania now and visit the place where Nan Chauncey was. And I read one of her books and I could just, I thoroughly enjoyed reading They Found a Cave, and I want to go down there now and find it. I love that sense of place that some authors have in their books. You want to go and visit that place and walk in the footsteps of the characters. So,
yeah. I have a slight segue, but I have a similar story in terms of I grew up completely enamoured with Winnie the Pooh by A.A. Milne and E.H. Shepherd, and I collected those books for years. My bedroom as a teen was decorated in the A.A. Milne illustrations, E.H. Shepherd illustrations, sorry. And my first solo overseas visit that I did. So this is must be one of the reasons you're my mentor, Jen. We're very similar in many ways. My first solo overseas visit was to go and play Pooh Sticks by myself in this tiny little English village in the middle of winter. I got chased by a cow. I was all by myself. My jacket got ripped, but I stood on Pooh Sticks Bridge and I just had this complete and utter sense of place. And I was like, this is where the stories were written. I am here. This is magic. So, yeah, I totally understand that sense of place. With my award, the Australian Teacher Librarian of the Year Award, it's been amazing for me to, in how that's given me a platform to continue advocacy work. I think I was feeling a little bit disheartened in the last few years, and I'd, really seriously considered what was my future in school libraries, and receiving the ASLA Award was heartening in that I had this platform again and people listening and the ear of people who maybe wouldn't normally listen to a teacher librarian bang on about how their job is important. But it gave me this platform to be able to talk about the work of school libraries, and it's been absolutely amazing and a total privilege. And I got to travel to New Zealand to speak at the SLANSA conference because of this award and be involved in the work being done in New Zealand school libraries. So it's been amazing.
Thank you. And both of you nurture and mentor fellow writers, kid-led writers, especially as they transition from aspiring to emerging authors. Can you tell me how it feels to see those authors out there sharing their publications?
I'll start with this one because I get the greatest buzz, because when I set up WriteLinks 11 years ago as a project for BookLinks, because somebody came to me and said there's no writers groups for people who want to write for children. And so I just called a meeting and about 30 people turned up, and they've been turning up once a month, every month ever since. And at that first meeting, nobody had any books published, and now there's so many of them have, and there are book launches happening all the time. So when I run my Romance in Stars events, I have so many people to select from. But when I ran my very first author event back in 1983 in Ipswich, there was about one author living in Queensland at the time that I could invite to Ipswich to do an author tour. And now there are just so many. It's just a huge industry in Queensland. We are just doing so well. And there are some really, really great writing coming out. So I try to get to as many launches as I can, but there are so many happening now I can't make them all anymore.
Yeah. So, Jenny, I can blame you for my social calendar. Every weekend, I was like, oh, I have a book launch to go to.
And I don't think it's a Queensland book launch or event unless you see either Pamela Rushby or Jenny Stubbs there. You two are at all sorts of things, and I love seeing you guys at those things. For me, I have had the immense privilege quite recently of seeing my neighbour have her first book launched. It's called A Light, and it's by Dr. Sam Lloyd and illustrated by Samantha Metcalf. It's a CSIRO published picture book, and it's doing incredibly well. Lots and lots of school visits are coming out of that publication. But Sam Lloyd is a fire ecologist, and she also happens to be my neighbour. And for many years, we've talked over the back fence about her writing, and I've read some of her writing, and I've just really enjoyed being able to encourage her and not mentor her as such, because she's a fabulous writer, but maybe just nurture her and give her that confidence that her writing is worth being seen by a wider published audience. And to have that book now be published and out in the world, it is just the most incredible thing to see a book that you've had a tiny, tiny part in nurturing come to life and be enjoyed by thousands and thousands of children.
And Megan, did she tell you that she was wanting to come to Story Arts Festival Ipswich, and we just sort of couldn't fit her into the program? But we're now extending Safi a week into Science Week. So she's doing tours into schools. So
yeah, perfect.
Safi's turned into a 2-week production.
Well, it's great to involve, you know, reading isn't just for the English curriculum, isn't it? I love that you've got yourself involved in Science Week as well. And certainly books like those published by CSIRO are so science focused, and they have got such great curriculum links, such great use in the classroom, but they're also just to be enjoyed, which I think is the joy of Safi. You guys make it very much just about the enjoyment of the book. There is educational benefits, but for me, Safi and all lit children's literature festivals are, you know, about the enjoyment of the book in a non-school environment.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I totally recommend any authors that live in Southeast Queensland, if you have the opportunity to volunteer at Safi, it's such a great learning experience. I volunteered at the last festival and learned so much from the authors presenting for when it was my turn to release my book, and go, oh, okay, I need to think about how I would deliver that style of workshop. And I was supporting Nova Wheatman, who she has a roller skating book as well. And so that was lovely to connect with her, but also just watch the way she delivers her workshops to the classrooms, to the students, and just go, oh, okay, I need to be learning and thinking about how I do that as well. And I think that is such a great experience for emerging authors to go along and volunteer and connect with authors and see the kids in action as well.
And we have Jenny to thank for that mentoring that happens, because I totally agree. You know, if ever a first-time author says to me, what should I be doing? I say the best PD you can do is get yourself along to a literature festival. If you're in Queensland, definitely Safi, because seeing other published, established authors doing their thing springboards your thinking into how you are going to present your own book, how you're going to engage children. Writing and illustrating is such a solitary profession, really, and not all authors and illustrators are performers or wanting to talk in front of children. But in a world where you kind of have to promote your own book via social media and by school visits and by children's literature festivals, it's important that you can at least confidently present your book to a group of children. And getting out to things like Safi and getting that mentoring, as you say, Kai, volunteering, best PD you could ever get.
And the website has been updated recently, so all the presenters are now on the Safi website. So that's storyartsfestival.com, and you can see who's coming this year, and the programs will be going up in the next week or so, I hope. It's nearly ready to go for the schools program. And we're pretty close too for the adult weekend program as well. So, yeah, you can find, by going to the website, you can find, you know, how to get involved and fill in the I want to volunteer thing online. I've had one come in just recently, so I know it's working.
What activities have you both got for 2024 that our listeners should look out for? Because there's quite a lot that you ladies have on.
Depends on where your listeners live, if they live within hitting distance of Brisbane.
Well, Danny V's reach is international, really, but for our south, maybe our southeast Queensland listeners, But certainly for people interested in traveling to attend any of the conferences that you're running, Jenny, it would be helpful to share.
Or even that I'm just associated with. So, for example, right this month at the moment up at the Lighthouse Toowoomba,
mm-hmm.
there's a wonderful Matt Otley exhibition that's on, and it's on till the end of February only. So that one's really worth going to see. I've been twice and I've got another visit planned. The film was so popular on the opening night that they're doing a rerun on the 28th of February. So if you missed the film of the book, The Tree of
Ecstasy and Unbearable Sadness.
Stop over that title every time. Yeah, it's an amazing film production to go and see. And
is
then
running this year, Jenny?
Yeah, we've got Romancing the Stars in Brisbane in March. We have a writer's retreat at Woodlands in April. We have an illustrator's retreat at Woodlands in May. We have Booklink Story Arts Brisbane in October. And it's the day after the School Library Association's conference, the CUSLA conference, the Future Libraries Conference. And we've got Amy Kaufman coming to that, and Bryony Stewart's flying in from WA. So they're sort of like the main names. And then we have a couple of locals as well. And then, of course, SAFI is on the first week of August, with the 10th and 11th being the SAFI conference weekend. Then we lead into Science Week. And then we're having a culminating event in Ipswich in the Community Gallery on the Saturday, I think it's the 17th of August. We're going to do a storytellers concert. And that is actually the first day of Book Week. So we lead into Reading as Magic. That we're using that as a bit of a theme through our festival as well.
And I've pulled up my calendar and sorted it so I can see where I'll be. Let me tell you where I'm going to be if you're interested in catching up. I'm going to be at the Beyond the Book Festival, but just online, Jen, so I'll miss you. I've got quite a lot of school visits coming up in the next few months. In fact, I think I'm booked until nearly the end of semester one. I'm going to the Cairns Tropical Writers Festival, and I'm presenting as part of the schools program. I'm super excited about that in March. It's such a great festival. I was invited along last year as an adult presenter, so I'm really stoked to be going as a children's presenter this year. We've obviously got Romancing the Stars, as Jenny said. I'm speaking at the Somerset Story Fest, and in fact there's going to be a community day there if anyone's interested, that's going to be bee themed around my latest book, and there's going to be all sorts of bee activities and a public splitting of a native beehive. My partner, known as the Beekeeper Online, is also working at the festival that day, running bee workshops for young and old alike. I'm going to the ALIA conference in Adelaide. I'm speaking at the ECTA conference as well. I'm going to Story Arts Ipswich, of course. I'm going to the Byron Writers Festival. I'm speaking at the Somerset Regional St. George Festival. I'm going to Emerald. I'm going back to Slanza Conference in New Zealand. I'm speaking at the PETA Conference in Sydney in October. And then, Jenny, one I think you should come to with me, I'm going to Once Upon a Festival in Adelaide in October. So I've got a really busy
year coming. I'm writing
that one down.
What dates
in October? What dates in October?
31st of October. I think you should come and check
Ooh.
It out.
Ooh, that sounds interesting. I don't think I've got anything on the 31st.
Everybody's heading to Adelaide now.
Yeah.
Now, usually when I ask guests when I'm on Totally Lit, I ask them, oh, have you got something coming up? And they'll say, oh, I've got a book launch here and something coming out in October. And you guys are just crazy busy. So. but thank you so much for the work that you do, because it does help our children in schools. It also supports authors like myself, like all the activities that you have created. I joined WriteLinks, and it has now produced me to be a kidlit author with my first book out. And that support has really made such a big impact on my life. So thank you, Jenny, for that. And thank you, Megan, as well, for all the work you do.
And thank you for the work that you do in getting the word out there.
Yeah, thanks, Kai. Yeah, I'm just so glad to hear the impact of on WriteLinks on you, because
yes,
that's what I always hoped would happen. You don't know when you start something.
You're out in the world going, I want to be a writer, and you have no idea how to start. When the writing is the real key to it all. But yeah, knowing yeah, that there's a community out there of like-minded people is amazing. And I just want to do a big shout out to Danny V for letting us take over Words and Nerds.
Hey, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.